All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Jen. Oh, my gosh, sis. Hi. Some visitors here. Whew. I'm Jen, one of the leaders here at Every Nation Melbourne. Good to see you. How you doing? So today I have a message, and I want to talk about this concept of a relational quotient. You've all heard about IQ, right? IQ, you, how smart you are. There's also EQ, so emotional quotient, which measures how emotionally intelligent you are. But I want to propose the idea of an RQ. I don't know. I think I made it up. So, you know, copyright now, right now. We're filming, so it's on film. So this idea of a relational quotient, you know, measuring how well we relate to others, how well we do relationships. So just to recap, so Pastor Ken has been going through this series on 1 John. And what really struck me is the amount of times God refers to the concept of love and teaching us and telling us that we should love each other, we should be good at relating to each other. So in verse 1 of 1 John 3, it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And it goes on, and to verse 11, it says, for this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. It goes down to verse 16, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters. So obviously love is a big deal, and relationships are a big deal to God. They say the Bible is like one big love letter to us from God. And there's definitely examples of what bad and broken looks like. The Ten Commandments are essentially a guide on how to relate to God and how to relate to each other, and how relationships should have been or would be without the fall, without sin in our lives. So I don't know about you, but I reckon love is the most powerful force in the universe. It can transcend time and space. If you've been in a long-distance relationship, you'd know that. It can give courage, hope, healing, and joy. Love can break down prejudice and melt a heart of stone. It can keep us going through the tough times and make the good times gooder. Who doesn't love love, right? And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships here. I'm talking about all relationships. Relationships with our parents, siblings, friends, work colleagues. When done right, relationships can be the most life-giving and most wonderful part of our lives. But when they're not the way they should be or going the way they should be, relationships and the people we're in relationship with can be the source of our deepest difficulty and pain. I strongly believe that humans, if they did relationships the way they're supposed to, the way God intended them, there'd be no jails, orphanages, drug rehab programs, crisis counseling after an act of terrorism. There'd be no sex slave industry, no abuse, no abortion, no rape, no murder. Shall I go on? We get it, right? And even if we can call it love, the way the world does relationships is normally motivated out of selfishness and a self-serving agenda rather than selflessness and generosity. It's conditional, you know? Whether or not you're being nice to me or doing loving things towards me, it's based on my mood, my emotions, and whether or not I'm feeling the feels today, right? So I think a relational quotient is quite important. I might write a book about it one day. In Matthew 22:36-40, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest command in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But there's also a second part. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." It's all about loving God and loving people, our relationships. If it's so important to Jesus, I believe it should be important to us. And we should be striving to do relationships well. If you took a test today, what would your RQ be? If we were to be honest, maybe our score wouldn't be so hot. Because the fact of the matter is, relationships are complicated. Like I said, they can be a great source of pain and frustration. However, I think if we embrace the principles in the Word of God and are led daily by the Holy Spirit, our relationships don't have to be as complicated as we make them. And as we saw in 1 John, relationships are important. God is a relational God. We were made in His image, right? Relationships are important to Him and they should be important to us. He calls us to this higher order love. It's an amazing, better way to do relationships. And relationships are so important to God that it's the very reason He sent Jesus to die on the cross, to restore the ability to be in relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. And it's actually such a high vibe love that He has to supernaturally transform us to even be able to give and receive this kind of God love. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Supernaturally, He gives us a whole new heart. Why? Because your old one had turned to stone. It was broken and you needed a new one altogether. And in order to operate under this new quality of love, He had to do that. I would describe it as a deeper, thicker, truer love than what we may have grown up with or what we were told, what we experienced. But it's one empowered by His Spirit. With our new heart, God gives us the ability to love the way we were supposed to and do relationships the way He originally intended. And that new spirit, that new heart it talks about in Ezekiel, it has a personality and power which bears fruit in our lives. In Galatians 5:22-23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." These verses should be familiar, I hope. But what does that fruit, that fruitfulness, what does it taste like? In 1 Corinthians 12:4-8, it says that love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes in all things, hopes in all things, and endures all things. So I don't know about you, that's pretty hard in our own strength. I know I've lost my patience a lot. And it's hard to be kind when you have just gone through, you know, peak hour traffic, got cut off a couple of times, you're running late for work. But it says that love is patient and kind. So I'd like to talk about this idea of, back to this idea of an RQ, and just have, I have 3 points, 3 things that we can consider if we want a higher RQ. And the first thing is that you need to receive that new heart that God offers. Your heart of stone can't love the way the new heart can. That's why he gives it to us. When I first became a Christian, I started going to church. The Lord started to point out certain behavior patterns in me. I used to actually push people away, keep people at a distance. Like, yeah, you'd be friendly and smiley, but you never let anyone in. And I would keep people at arm's length, although I was desperate to have deep, loving connections with people. Not in a romantic sense, but a daily, platonic, familial sense. You know, have deep and strong relationships with the people that God had put around me. With my friends, and yes, my biological and spiritual family. And I actually never realized I had these walls up until, you know, God gave me that new heart and that new love. When I realized what love really was, I realized I never had it. He revealed that pattern in me in order to heal and allow me to learn how to receive and give that love, the better kind of love that God intended. Though it was a slow and painful process, God helped me deal with old hurts and times of rejection. And he showed me that I could take risks in loving others because I was completely loved by him. He showed me that even though I was totally awesome, I didn't have to be liked by everyone because my security wasn't in their approval. It was in his. He showed me that in Christ, I'm beautiful and beloved, and I have this incredible river of living water that comes out of me. And it's meant for those who thirst around me. And that holding back from cultivating deep relationship with others was actually depriving them of the gift that God intended for healing and refreshment for them. And I realized that in order to fully receive that love from others, I had to learn to receive God's love first for me and find the freedom to give that love back. As we allow God to do the healing in us, healing in our relationships follow. You know, a lot of times we blame others for the relational dysfunction in our lives, you know, but we can't control how others act and react. But one thing I'd like us to really think about today is the part we play in the relationships we're in and ask God what needs to change in us, what needs to be cut off in us, what unforgiveness and bitterness needs to be uprooted in us, and what needs to be healed in us. All right, point two. No, where are we? Two. So that connects to the next point of, you know, we can only give what we get. So be able to love the way that people want us to love, we need to deepen our connection to that source of love, who is God, you know. God is love, love is God. It can't be separated from who he is, and he freely offers himself to us. He gives in full measure, running over, in excess, in abundance, and it never runs out. And like, you know, if you've ever flown anywhere, they do the air safety demonstrations. And they tell you that you should put, when the mask, oxygen mask comes down, that you should put it on yourself first before helping others, right? And that's the same concept. We need to allow the love of God to do its work in us first, and then we can give out of the overflow of abundance that he lavishes on us. All right, point three. Back to three. So love and keep loving. So like an instrument, you know, the more you practice, the more you will get better at it. At first you might fumble and make mistakes, but you know, we ask for forgiveness and then get back to it. Get back to loving each other, serving God, our friends and family. There's a few books out there and blogs that I've read. You know, this is what I have used and God has used in my life to increase my RQ. So, you know, these are just a few that came to mind when I was preparing for this morning. It's not a complete list for sure, and maybe you've got better books out there, but these are some that God has used to renew my mind and challenge me to love deeper and bigger and live out some of the principles that we're talking about here. So one of the books, do I have a pointer? No, it doesn't have a pointer. It's like, so one of the books is called Boundaries. Oh yes, thank you, Boundaries. So I learned in this book, like I'll give you quick little summaries, and obviously if you're interested, I'm encouraging you to go and seek out these books and read them yourselves so you can increase your RQ, yeah? So in the book Boundaries, like a lot of people have misconceptions of what boundaries actually are. So they're not just a bunch of rules that I put up so people, you know, don't annoy me anymore. It's actually having a true picture of your value and worth and the security and freedom that brings and giving the freedom to others. There's a book there called The Five Love Languages. So in this book, it talks about how each person has a primary love language. You know, and sometimes things get lost in translation because of that. I see some couples smirking and laughing because they've read the book, obviously. Yeah, and just applying that, the principles in that book. So, for example, if my primary love language is words of affirmation and my friend is gifts, I'm always going to be encouraging her and be like, you're awesome, and she'll feel like I don't even care about her because she didn't get a gift from me. And I'd be like, dude, vice versa, right? She's giving me gifts all the time, and I'm like, that doesn't mean anything to me. Well, yeah, it means something, but I actually would appreciate and feel loved more when you give me a card, and that gives me words of telling me how awesome I am, you know? Yeah. So Love Languages, that's a great book. Another great book is Margin. Yeah, that one. So Margin is quite interesting. It's actually, the concept is about just making room in our lives for the things that really matter. Sometimes we get so busy on doing the little things, but if we create space and margin for the relationships in our lives, we'll actually be healthier, happier, and yeah, be able to operate and just have the freedom to invite more people into your life. Sometimes we want to hang out with our friends, but we're just too busy. Maybe we should make it a priority. Another one is Walk Across the Room, Bill Hybels. This is actually a book on evangelism. But the thing that I came away with from that book, it actually, yes, it challenges us to go out and preach the gospel, but it's actually about crossing uncomfortable boundaries and just starting conversations with strangers. But not because you have to, but because they're valuable to God. God really loves them. And for us to go out and start a conversation with a stranger validates that love. Our uncomfortableness and fear of looking like an idiot or saying the wrong thing is worth it because they're valuable to God. You know, someone probably did that for you, and that's a gift that you can give to someone else as well. Amen? Yeah, so I'm wrapping up soon, but you know, relationships can be tricky and complicated, and these books are, you know, a great resource. But we have the ultimate relationship expert to go to, and that's Jesus, of course, and the Holy Spirit. So if you get anything really from my message today, I just want you to know that God has a beautiful picture in mind of what our relationships could look like and should look like. And unfortunately, because of this broken and selfish world, we probably haven't experienced relationships the way God intended or created them to function. But praise Him that we have access to the source of all love. We have the God of love, and He empowers us to do relationships well. He empowers us to invite others into that as well. And the Holy Spirit has been teaching me a whole bunch of stuff about what healthy relationships look like, the power of forgiveness, how to love someone who's hard to love, you know, about God's heart for healing and restoration, and really the part that we have to play in that, in someone else's life. So, hands up, who already feels like they have the higher IQ? Come on. RQ. Awesome. Thank you very much, guys.